Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
X gon' give it to ya. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out and stainless steel. Go hard, getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make a motherfucker wonder if you did. Damn right, and I do it again. Cause I am life, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. You motherfuckers never wanted nothing but your life saved. Bitch, and that's on a light day, I'm getting down.
Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing.
Bitch, please, if the only thing you cats did was came out to play, stay out my way, motherfucker. Gonna frost, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. We gonna frost, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya.
Call me maybe.
We gonna frost, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. We gonna frost, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go.
Hey guys, welcome to an all new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. We did it. It's Friday. How are we feeling? Are we ready to get into the weekend? Do we have the right weekend attitude? What's everybody doing? Bill, what are you doing? Annie, what are you? What if I just started naming everybody that's ever listened to the podcast and ask what each of you are doing? Let's see. I get my dog this weekend. That's exciting. So I get to hang out with Brooklyn, my dog. Excited about that. Reminder, you guys, on Sunday night, the Golden Globe Awards is happening. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are hosting. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with it. We talked about the Golden Globes on here before, but did you see that, you know, how there was like that big fuss that Emily in Paris got nominated? And, you know, people like Emily in Paris, but a lot of people hate watched Emily in Paris. And it was shown that they literally flew all of the critics for the Golden Globes to like a foreign location, put them up at an amazing hotel. I mean, they pretty much bought their votes, but that's exactly what I told you the Golden Globes is kind of known for. So I thought that was an interesting piece of news. Today, I wanted it just to be you and me. And I know I said I'll do Monday through Thursday, but I couldn't not talk with you guys and recap the last reunion of Salt Lake City. This show has meant so much to me and so much to a lot of you guys. And I know you're like, are you kidding? But like, no, it really did. Think about the history of this show. You know, we had this smack dab in the middle of COVID, in the middle of lockdown. And it really provided me and I think a lot of you guys with so many laughs, got to meet new characters that we liked. Week after week, I really, really looked forward to it. And it was kind of one of the bright spots in a really shitty year. So I wanted to go over them, recap, because I actually have somebody, I think, pretty cool coming on next week to discuss all of the reunions and Salt Lake as a whole. But I thought just maybe me and you could break this down. And remember, these are just my opinions, how I see things. You guys are all going to have your own take on it. And remember, that's just as valid as my opinion, even though I have a podcast. So that makes my opinion at least 5% better of an opinion. And that's just, that's state law. That's state law, baby. another thing I want to recommend. So you know how they're, I don't know, you guys are too young maybe, but The Real World, you know, that the franchise on MTV. So they're doing, God, the first one aired like over 25 years ago, I think. And that was that was when I was a kid. That was like the shit. Like that's what got me loving reality shows. And I think the beginning of March, March 4th, I believe, on Paramount TV, which is now CBS All Access, and they're changing to Paramount Plus next week. So just so you know, so you're not confused when CBS All Access goes away. But they have full seasons of The Real World on there. Last night when I couldn't sleep, I put on some of the episodes of season one, and then I moved to season two when they went to Los Angeles. And I forgot how much I grew up with those shows. It is really fascinating because you also see like that it was kind of pretty real. In fact, that it was at times boring. But watching it now, it's kind of refreshing that, like, they're not pushing the agenda. You know, no, they're not pushing fights. The fights are happening organically and naturally. And it was actually really, really refreshing to watch. So I would recommend that if you guys have CBS All Access or Paramount Plus, it is something to dive in and kind of just have on the background. And it really is. I always love the history of anything, but the history of reality television is just as fascinating. So that was a recommendation. But what do we think, you guys? I watched Summer House. Man, I cannot make fun of Carl this week because of what happened at the end of tonight's episode of Summer House. But man, I don't know. What are we thinking about Hannah? Really? I mean, is she the villain this season? Is she the big bad? I don't know. Like she's really giving it a lot so far, and I hope she dials it back. It seems like she's really not, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, is everybody just pro Hannah, anti Luke? Or, I mean, Luke's not that great either, but maybe it's somewhere in between. But Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, we had the final reunion Wednesday night, and so everybody is taking their seats. Lisa is talking to John, because remember how we left it last week where, Lisa went out to talk to John because she was upset about something Heather said. And he just says, I love you. You know, John, by the way, you just get the sense that he gets talked at a lot, and he seems like a solid guy, but it just seems like he just says things like, I love you. And sometimes that's all you need to do, right? That's all you need to do, because Lisa is just like a whirling dervish. She just spins around like a tornado. Whitney and Heather, bad weather. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. That was her poem from last week. She comes back out on stage and she's like, I'm good. I'm great. Let's go. Which is another thing that bothers me about Lisa. It's always on Lisa's time. Lisa tells, like, roll the tape. Let's go. And I like Lisa because she is a character. And I think we need characters like that. But I just, in life, I never love the person that acts like they're in charge. When it's like, you got five other ladies on the stage that are as equal, if not more, than you. And so do not act like you are the one that calls the shots. Sorry, I hate to put my foot down, you know? Andy says, oh, you look like a different person. And Lisa goes, is that a good thing? All the men are out on stage. Seth, Meredith's husband, and Robert Sr., Mary's grandpappy and husband, step-grandpappy, they're on video screens. I was shocked we didn't get a Brooks Marks cameo. So Andy sees Robert and he goes, you don't seem thrilled, Robert. He goes, not at all. So he's already mad. And Andy goes, sorry, Robert. And he goes, we are back with the ladies of Salt Lake. The husbands are here. And, you know, Andy does the whole thing. Hey, Coach Shaw, did you ever get your Popeyes? Because remember the night of his birthday party, Jen Shaw told him he was taking it to Popeyes. And he was like, I got it, Andy. I sure did. Not that night, though. And then Andy goes, hey, John, did Lisa prepare you for today? And John goes, I can neither confirm or deny. And I'd like to point out at this time, John, we recognize, is fully spray tanned. Like, it's not even just like Lisa just rubbed his hands on John's face. Like, his whole body, it's like Magda from There's Something About Mary, or it's like Amelia Hamlin in her new Instagram shots tonight. Did you guys see that? Man, I don't know. Amelia Hamlin, of course, you guys, is dating Scott Disick, as we've talked about on the show before, and it's gone too far. First off, she looks like a completely different person. We all don't need to look like the Kardashians, right? Like, it's okay to look like yourself. Like, there is just not one type of standard of beauty, and it's getting so eerie. Like, she's literally turning in, like, the coloring of the skin. And she says, I vacationed in the sun, because her and Scott went on a vacation. And she's like, plus that with my Italian heritage. I'm like, girl, don't even. Did I just do a girl? Girl, don't even. I hate to say it, but I think this relationship with Scott is not as cool as she wants to think it is. And it's just like he's making her just another girl. And I've never liked Amelia Bedelia or any of the Hamlin daughters for that matter. But at the same time, it's really sad to look at her now and you're like, oh my God, you look like just every other one of those Instagram models. And you, I mean, you're just like, you're going to get swallowed up by this. Like Scott's going to chew you up and spit you out. I wonder what Scott does when he sees those photos. Like Scott's pretty savvy, you would think. Like I just wonder what is going on in his head. It just seems like everything is a cry for help with that dude. But anyways, we're not here to psychoanalyze Scott. That's a different day. Today, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the reunion. So yeah, Andy's going down the line of the guys. So we just did John, and now Andy goes to Seth via video screen, and he goes, hey, Seth, where are you today? And Seth goes, the land of opportunity, Canton, Ohio. And you guys know, if you listen to this podcast, I was obsessed with Seth saying Canton, Ohio, because when Meredith picked him up at the airport that one time, he kept saying, I want you to move with me in Canton, Ohio. That's where the business is, in Canton. Well, that's where my job is, in Canton, Ohio. He kept saying it. So when he said, in the land of opportunity, Canton, Ohio, I lost my shit. I was like, that's like Elton John playing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road first. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh my God, Seth just played his greatest hit on the first line. Like, oh, that's amazing. Like, hats off. Like, I was highly entertained by that. You see, guys, it doesn't take much for me to be entertained. I love that. And then he's like, hey, Robert Sr. And he's via, you know, video as well. And he's like, are you not traveling because of COVID? And he goes, yep. And Mary goes, he's really shy. That's he's not answering you, which begins one of the most fascinating kind of relationships. She keeps turning to the screen to look at him. And she keeps kind of like having full conversations with him where she thinks she's just talking to him. Like, we don't really fully know what they're saying, but she's like, no, come on, you know, da, da, da. It is just, Mary is just, you just want to do a character study of Mary. Cause you're like, I don't believe she really exists on so many levels. And then Robert Sr. comes in and he kind of acts normal, but at the same time, you have to remember at the end of the day, he is not normal. For many reasons, but he can act really normal. So that's even more bizarre. Somebody that can act really normal, but does really bizarre things instead of Mary, who acts bizarre and does bizarre things, you know? So Mary says, you know, he's really shy, which he doesn't seem shy at all. And they're like, hey, Whitney, Justin, how are you with that stripper pole? And Justin's like, I've been on there a few times myself. Everybody is smiling. Everybody is happy. And Andy's like, these ladies were not afraid to open the windows to their marriages and even the cracks. And we see a whole clip package of all the marriages. We see Coach Shaw say, you know, I'm attracted to my wife because of how sweet she was. And then the Whitney talking head of like, has he met his wife? Andy then gets back from the clip package and said, we got a lot of viewer mail saying people were very upset that Lisa threw away her husband's Rolex. Remember that story that Lisa said she threw John's Rolex out of the car in a fight and made him go find it? And Andy's like, what could you have done that would have made him so mad? And we find out that she picked him up at the airport and it was her birthday and he forgot to say happy birthday. So, you know, she showed him the Rolex on she's like, oh, look what I did for your birthday. Cause that's what she got him for his birthday a month earlier. And, she said, you have 10, he's like, oh, you can take it. And she said, you have 10 seconds to, say sorry. And, he didn't. And then she rolled down the window and threw it out. So amazing. Right. And then he had to go find it, man. Good story. Great story. But I will say stories like that are very real. I mean, between couples, but it's wild because they're both on stage smiling. So I love that they shared that story. We all have wacky stories like that. But at the same time, that is wacky because you can tell how tense Lisa is at all times. Like, Lisa seems like static electricity. She's ready to go at any time if you rub her the wrong way, you know? So we go to Coach Shaw. Coach Shaw, we got questions. Do you value football more than your family? And he's like, no. He goes, this has been difficult. He starts to talk about her father, Jen Shaw's father, dying. And he was like, what happened? And he was, I came in the middle of the week and her dad was only responsive to me. And, so I think there is some feelings that if I had been there every day, that he might have pulled through. And he goes, that was just not medically possible. But he says, I was also at the wake and I've been there every day for the last 3 years since. And Andy's like, Jen, will you be able to let this go at some point? And Jen's like, he did everything he could. I didn't know what I was dealing with at the time, which is a very real sentiment, very real. I mean, I just can't imagine how I would act if somebody close to me, a family member, passes away. And unfortunately, we all have to kind of find that out someday. But, who knows how we're going to react. But this is weird. So it was good to hear Coach Shaw talk a little bit more about this. So then it goes over to Justin Whitney's husband. And Andy asks, are you still a member of the Mormon Church? And he says, well, I received a letter from the church saying I was excommunicated, which means kicked out. And he's like, growing up Mormon, that's the worst letter you can ever get. And Justin actually starts tearing up. And then that makes Heather tear up. And Andy's like, Heather, this is upsetting to you. And Heather says, I feel, very similar. This is like my same story. And Andy asks, well, can you practice Mormonism at home? And he goes, yeah, you can. And, you can still go to church, but it's hard. And Justin says, we've chosen a different path and it's our own belief system. But, think about, this is why I think this show gives a really nice gravity. It really has a nice foundation because it is based in something very, that means very much to a lot of people is religion and God. Like if you have that as the foundation, you can really go into so many different spaces that housewife shows have never gone to. If you can keep coming back to that. And I hope they touch on that a little bit more even than in the second season, because I think the intricacies of each religion are very interesting. And we have a couple different ones. I believe Meredith is Jewish. Mary is an alien. I think Mary has her own church. I think, what is it? And Mormonism. But if you really, really believe in your religion, and then you get a letter saying you are out, you are kicked out. That's like saying God has kicked you out. God has forsaken you. You did something wrong and God has turned his back on you. And if you believe in that religion, I have to imagine that is crushing. And it kind of gives a little bit more of a backstory on why, we saw Heather, be a wreck about her divorce so many times over the season, because these are real. This is real to them. This is something they believe. So if you believe something, you believe all of it. And I think that is, I know this isn't really kind of funny to talk about, but it is something that really fascinates me, because you saw the real emotion in Justin and Heather. Like this is something they really, really dealt with. And you just saw it. You know when you see something real on somebody's face, I think. He goes, yeah. And Justin goes, it would be nice if we got that tithing check back, because tithing in the Mormon religion, a lot of religions have tithing, but I believe the Mormon religion is 10%, 10% of what you make goes to the church, but divorce is definitely not common in the Mormon church, they say. And then Lisa speaks up and Lisa goes, well, John was married before me and he wasn't excommunicated. First off, I didn't realize John was married before Lisa. That is fascinating. We find out Lisa's parents were divorced. But with Justin, we find out him and Whitney were excommunicated because, remember, they cheated outside of their relationships, their original relationships. Heather is still considered married, in her church because she was sealed in the temple. Now, I might be speaking a little out of my ass here, but I grew up with a lot of Mormons. And if you get, married in the temple, only Mormons can go in the temple and I believe see those things, but you can get married in there. And that means you're sealed. So you will go to heaven with your husband or wife. And what I found fascinating about the Mormon religion, too, is that they have three levels of heaven. I was always remember finding that out as a kid, and I was like, oh, great. There's even like a class system up in heaven, you know, or there's like bottle service. Like, oh, I can't go to the VIP room, you know, like, well, I guess I'm Catholic, so I'm like the first level. I don't get to go to the Mormon third level. And also, do they discover new levels as it goes along? And it's so much fascinating stuff. But Heather was sealed in the temple. So Lisa says, well, John and I are sealed in the temple. So Lisa, it's kind of starting up this thing where Lisa's like, it's fine. You can, you know, you can get unsealed and it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. People do it all the time. So, you know, we see that it's kind of eating at Heather. These guys just push each other's buttons, and we're going to see this for years to come, I think. Which, by the way, somebody sent me, Marissa sent me a photo. They are already filming season two. Somebody saw Heather and Whitney. They took a picture of them filming at a consignment shop in Utah. So that's very exciting. We go to Robert Sr. Robert Sr., what do you want people to understand about your marriage? And he's like, that grandfather stuff. That's, you know, I see all that grandfather junk. That's stupid. That's stupid. And then Mary goes, he's still upset. He's not as strong as me. Can you imagine? Isn't that amazing? He's still upset. He's not as strong as me. And then she's like, be nice, Robert, be nice. And then they're bickering back and forth. Like I said, she turns to the TV and they're doing this quiet bickering. It is just bizarre. We go to our first commercial break. We come back. You know, Robert, why were you hesitant to join the show? Andy asks. He's like, because I knew everything that happened would happen. So he knew all this stuff was coming. He knew if, you know, they had the life they had. They show that on TV, you know, they bring it around to other people. Of course, people are going to ask questions, you know. Mary says, we are, you know, Mary tells Robert, he's like, but, you know, Robert, look, we are coming together now. Me and Jen made up. And she says, I love you, Robert. And Robert goes, I love you too, but that doesn't mean I can't voice my opinion. Robert, there's been so much talk about your unconventional marriage and the background leading up to it. And Robert goes, one thing they don't understand is that we just got married for the money. And it's not like that. We didn't just get married for the money. And he goes, also, this granddaddy junk, I was 22 when I married her mom. So that's even more bizarre. So he was 22 when he married Mary's mom. And he's like, I don't like them saying that about me. That's very offensive, but I'm used to it. But I don't like people messing with my wife. So when that's another little nugget of information that he was 22 when he married Mary's mom. So I wonder how old he was when Mary's mom passed. I don't know. Because remember, they've been married 22 years. He says about Mary, she is a great wife and a mother. We have our ups and downs, but we've been married for 22 years. So who doesn't have those problems? And he also says, she's the best first lady of the church. She's my co-pastor. She's my equal. And I know that doesn't sit well in most churches, but she is my equal. And everybody's like, oh yeah. And Mary's tearing up. Mary's like, and he's like, Mary, that made you emotional to hear that praise. Why? And she goes, cause no one knows me better. No one knows me better. And it's weirdly sweet, but it's still weird. So weirdly sweet, sweetly weird. It's weird and sweet. I don't know. It's, you know, Mary, my friend Kate said, Mary has had the comeback. By the way, Kate Legaco, I do Real Housewives of Dallas recaps with her on the Patreon. We had such a fun conversation that kind of spanned like an hour and a half, just spanned everything. So you go over the Patreon if you even want more recaps. Kate is so fun to talk to. But Kate said, Mary has had the comeback of a lifetime in these reunions. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't have the shows, just the reunion, you would think Mary was one of the full stars. And I will say Mary saved her job with these reunions, or they already knew they really liked her or saw that the fan response was huge in terms of all the memes and said, we got to keep her on. But Mary has, weirdly redeemed herself. Do you guys feel that as well? Andy says, you know, it's nice to see you and Jen being friends. Mary said, you know, yeah, it's like, I've never really given Jen a chance. And Jen says, thank you, Mary. And I got to tell you, you can kind of see that Jen is playing the game a little bit here because she knows she doesn't have a lot of allies on this cast anymore besides Lisa. So she's got to think about second season, you know, collecting some chess pieces. So she has to like bow to Mary to get Mary in her corner now. So I think that's fascinating. And I think we're going to see them together a lot more in season two, because a lot of people aren't going to love filming with Jen Shah anymore, you know? So now the men are talking about Jen and Mary. Coach Shaw. Coach Shaw said, I am not here. Coach Shaw said, when Jen approached me about being on the show, he made it clear that he is not here to engage in any fight you have with any of the women, which is just an amazing. He was like, I do not want to be involved in taking down any of these women. But he did say, when she cries, I cry for her. But everybody's going to have to come from a very real place of forgiveness. And Jen's going to have to come from a very real place of forgiveness. And if they don't forgive you, move on and let's ride. That's what he says. And Andy says, God, will you be my coach? He really is good at saying things. Certain people really can encapsulate and motivate very quickly. Who knows if it's true and that's how he really is behind closed doors. But I love stuff like that. I love self-help stuff. I mean, I think we all want just somebody to tell us that we're great, that we can do it, you know, in the best way possible, that, you know, come on, let's, you got this. Like, we all want that. You know, it's really, that's why motivational books, and it's such a huge industry, you know, who doesn't want to be told that they're great deep down, that their fears don't need to be fears, you know? It's interesting. So then Coach Shaw tells Robert, this was a great moment. He goes, when I saw what she said to your wife, I said, baby, that's unacceptable. You can't talk about people's marriages or what they do. That is unacceptable. We can't degenerate to that kind of talk. And he goes, I'm sorry, brother. That's not my wife. That was in the heat of the moment. And hopefully she gets a chance to prove herself. And you know, Robert's like, yeah, of course, of course. And Andy says, uh-oh, I see a double date in our future. And now we go on to Whitney's dad about his addiction. And this is very sad. We find out from Whitney, currently, I don't know. He's not speaking to me. We had built a beautiful foundation. He came for my birthday. And then since the show started, he's disappeared and we haven't talked since. And Whitney says, you know, I thought we would be watching and celebrating this show together. And he, you know, Whitney says, I still want people to root for him. That's what he needs. It does seem like he does really care about what other people think. So, you know, I'm sure it was shocking to hear people make fun of his hair, to people, you know, but at the same time, that's part of it. So I was sad to find out that he was still in a fragile state where, you know, this seemed to sincerely affect him. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, we don't know for sure if he's relapsed, but it sure sounds if he disappeared. I hate that. I really grew to really like Whitney over this. And I saw how she handled her father and how much her father had leaned on her for financial support, emotional support. And so it was just a true bummer. And I really wish he did. I mean, who knows what really happened, but if it was that he got his feelings hurt about the show, I wish he had maybe, you know, took that more in and kind of, you know, everybody at some point gets made fun of on these shows, but at the same time, they're beloved, you know, like if we went to BravoCon, we would all want pictures with this dude, you know, like if he was on Cameo, we would want cameos from this dude, you know, and we'd want his hair to be crazy. We'd want to get a picture with him with crazy hair. You know, the reason we love these people are for those little peccadilloes, those little weird things, because we all have those little weird things. We have friends and family that have little weird things, and that's why we love them. We love these characters because they have these little weird things. So, you know, I know how fragile the human ego is and the psyche, and it just seems like he cannot get on his feet, but they're not talking to Whitney just bums me out, because I'm sure that just really eats at her. So I gotta say, you know, the part three of the reunion was definitely the most somber part of the reunion. One and two, I thought, were excellent. Two being like a gold standard for reunions, just because it really weirdly focused on Mary, and they don't usually do that a lot. And I think it really worked. But the third part of the reunion, it was kind of ho-hum in the sense it was just sad. A lot of it was sad. You know, Whitney also says, you know, I still text my dad every couple of days. His phone's not shut off. But she says, it's brutal on my heart. And Mary says to Whitney, love never leaves hope. I think I wrote that down wrong. That doesn't sound right. I think it was something about love means hope. I don't know. And then this is the weirdest transition of the night. We just had this beautiful thing about her dad. And then Andy goes, was your dad behind your hairstyles on the show? And she's like, he cuts it. He cuts the hair on my head. And then he goes, is that a wig on his hair? Like Andy starts like talking about her dad's weird hair. And he's like, yes, that's really his hair on his head. And then Andy's like, we're all rooting for your dad. It was just like, I don't know. Andy, we all know about the hair. We didn't need that question after a beautiful moment, you know, like it kind of ruined it. Andy was like, does your dad fart a lot? You know, so now we're with Seth and Meredith. And Andy's like, how is the reconciliation? And have you guys been, you know, and we find out they've been great since shooting. She says, yes, it's fantastic. She goes, yes.
Yes, it's been fantastic.
She says it very cold. We cut to break. We come back. And Andy goes, Meredith, there were reports you filed for divorce and then removed the petition.
And she goes, yes, that is the case. We had a tumultuous marriage.
Andy says, I've talked to so many couples over the year who have gotten stronger because of this show, or their relationship has been completely destroyed because of this show. Meredith says,
Seth and I would both agree that the show helped save our marriage because you have to address things for the show to keep moving forward.
And then Seth goes, yeah, I'm in Canton, Ohio. You know, the show helped us put the threads back into our marriage. We were just hanging on by a thread at the beginning, but now we have multiple threads. It's very threaded, our marriage. And he says, you know, he never dated anybody, Seth, you know, because we found out Meredith did date. He's like, I've always wanted Meredith. But he said, I've always been self-absorbed and, you know, self-absorbed and trying to be a great dad. And there were a lot of deficiencies in my marriage, which was my doing. So he takes full blame for this, which is interesting. And then Andy goes, a viewer had an interesting theory. Do you notice how Andy always gives the viewers like the tough questions? So Andy doesn't have to, he goes, you know, he'll be like, so-and-so asked, you know, are you a pedophile? Like he'll give the tough questions to fake viewers. So he goes, do you think Meredith turned Brooks against you? And then Seth goes, to know Brooks Marks is to know Brooks, to know, I'm trying to, Canton, Ohio. To know Brooks Marks is to love Brooks Marks. He's the sweetest guy I know. And that's really sweet to hear a dad say that about his son. I have to say, we know Brooks Marks a little. I mean, to know Brooks Marks on the show, I don't think it's necessarily means to love Brooks Marks, you know? Like, but we're just seeing, all we have to go on is the show and those tracksuits. That's all we have to go on. So, you know, but I love that his dad loves him. I think I'm really excited about that. I just wrote a big nope after that on my notes. And Lisa Barlow chimes in. She's like, I can't even watch this without crying. And she starts crying. She's like, I love them together. I love them together. Ah, orange Cheetos hands. And this is where Heather makes a rare misstep. So this is a moment between Lisa, Meredith, and Seth. And Heather jumps in and says, you always say divorce is no big deal, but here you are crying for Meredith. So Heather butts in, inserts herself, and brings up her divorce again because she's still on one about Lisa saying, you know, it's okay, everybody divorces, it's okay. And Heather kind of made this about her. And, you know, we know at this point that Heather thinks divorce is a big deal. But what Heather is not leaving room for, because she's got such a boner for Lisa and vice versa, is that Lisa and Meredith are good friends. Lisa is crying because she knows them personally. She is friends, they're family, you know, like that. It's a different thing than just saying, you know, Heather got a divorce and she doesn't really know Heather, you know, even though they did go to college together. So Lisa says, you know, Heather, I didn't dismiss it. We just didn't have those conversations, Heather. And she's like, I'm trying to let you know divorce is devastating to some people. And she wants Lisa to recognize her pain, which is just seems to be a common theme between Lisa and Heather, is that Heather wants Lisa to recognize her, whether it be in college, whether it be in the first couple of episodes, whether it be at the reunion. She wants Lisa to acknowledge her as a person, acknowledge her pain, acknowledge her strength, and she can't get no satisfaction. She can't get no acknowledgement from Lisa Barlow. And I think this is, like I said, a rare missed up where she spoke up at the wrong time, because remember, she's been gassed up a lot. She's feeling herself, and she, you know, with that power, she doesn't know how to use it. So I really love Heather still. I think, like I said, rare misstep. You got to forgive it. You know, we're in the third part of the reunion. It was a long day. I'm making excuses now because yeah, I saw that. I didn't like it, but you could see, the behavior behind it. You could see why she did it. It was just wrong time, you know? And then he goes, Jen, did you find it hypocritical? Jen, do you now find it hypocritical to chastise Meredith about loyalty when you talked behind her back the whole time about her marriage? And Jen's like, "Zooks, uh-oh." And she goes, out of respect for Meredith and Seth, I won't even answer that question. It's a moot point. And Andy says, it's not a moot point. We spent half of the season on it. And Jen says, well, I'm taking the fall for it. And a lot of ladies were a part of it. I just feel it shouldn't be discussed now that Meredith and Seth are back together, she says. Coach Shaw was bummed because from his perspective, Meredith and Jen got along so well. So he was very bummed when that relationship dissolved. We didn't get to find it about if Coach Shaw like agreed that Jen shouldn't have talked shit about Meredith and Seth's marriage, but we can assume so. Whitney says, for me asking questions, I was just trying to get to know Meredith. I should have stopped right there. And Jen says, yes, I too shouldn't have engaged in any type of conversations. So Jen at this point is crying and she's like, I'm sorry to all of you. I am sorry to all of you. Robert Sr., I am sorry. And he goes, don't you worry about it, sister. Which is I mean, I got to say, Robert Sr. presented himself pretty well, even though he is her step grandpappy. And then Jen goes, Seth and Meredith, I never came from a place of trying to hurt others. And I have been super hurt with the distance between us. I mentioned it to Heather about you guys and your marriage because she's my best friend, but I wasn't trying to hurt people. And Mary says, you're a fighter. You fight with your words, but when you try to take it back, sometimes the damage is already done. Mary, congratulations, because you just made some fucking sense. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get this lady a second season right there, huh? That was... Am I on mushrooms? That made sense, right? I'm not the only one that thought that made sense. Don't let me take the fall for this if this doesn't make sense. And somebody says, you don't want to burn a bridge with every single person. And Andy says, well, we'll leave it at there. Goodbye, husbands. So all the men go. This is another point where we see just how tan John is. Like, it's just shocking. Like, the Barlows, I would kill to see their walls. You got to imagine it's just like Cheetos dust fingers everywhere. Like, if there was a black light in their house, it's just got to light up with just tan dust. We come back and Andy's like, Whitney took a gamble inviting the girls to Sin City. But when she doubled down, things went bust. We have some clips of Jen's version of a good friend as a henchman. The whole clip package now of the Jen drama from that episode. Andy asks Meredith, what inspired your mask at Heather's grand opening? She's like, it was fun and funny. And we find out that was pre-COVID. They taped that last scene a week before the lockdown happened last year. Can you imagine that? They wrapped and then a week later, which, by the way, we're coming up on, oh my God, you guys, we're coming up on a year anniversary of Tiger King. No, a year anniversary of COVID. Can you believe that? That is scary as hell. Yikes. Ugh. Sometimes you just can't imagine how fast a year went, even though I remember at times during COVID where it just went so slow, and now everything just seems to be going so fast. I mean, they're going to have to do studies later in life about how this gave everybody some weird PTSD. Ugh. Anyways, back to our reality shows, back to the real stuff. Jen, you were the CEO of Fun, Andy says. Why were you still mad at Whitney after she apologized and you forgave her? Why were you still mad at her in Vegas? And Jen's like, well, because Meredith and Lisa, she said Meredith and Lisa are talking about you. And Jen also lets us know that forgiveness is very easy for her, which is kind of LOL. And Whitney's like, yeah, I mean, when I made up with Lisa Barlow in Vegas, I was skipping and dancing when I went into Heather's room because I was finally getting along with Lisa. Andy says to Jen, a lot of people say you make people feel like they need to take sides. She preaches loyalty, but she doesn't pay it back. Oh, no. Andy's like, who thinks Jen preaches loyalty but doesn't give any back? And everybody raises their hands except Lisa Barlow. And Jen's like, thank you, Lisa. And it's like, Lisa, you know what? You can be on Jen's side and still raise your fucking hand because there's only one answer to that question. Jen preaches loyalty, but doesn't give any most of the time. That's just how it is. It's not ganging up on her when it's a fact. And that, I'm sorry, is a fact. Meredith goes, can I ask you one question? Can I ask you one question, Jen? If I treated you the way you treated me, would you be friends with me? And Jen goes, no. But it was other people too. Like, I hate when people do that. No, but it was other people too. And Jen says, I just want to move out on now. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And Meredith says, didn't you want Lisa? Oh yeah. And he goes, Meredith, didn't you want Lisa to choose a side at Heather's grand opening? Cause, and she was like, no, I didn't say that, but I did find it weird that I told her how she was trying to ruin my family and that she did horrible things and that my friend Lisa was still seeking Jen out. And Meredith goes, I don't understand their friendship, but she can have it. And Heather says about Jen, you know, we had a great time that night after my grand opening. We partied till 3 a.m. She's as fabulous as she is horrifying, Heather says. And she goes, I want to be friends, but I don't want to be friends where I eat shit all the time. And Jen goes, I feel like I eat shit all the time. And Heather goes, no, you have not ate shit all the time. Heather and Jen are fighting about things that Jen supposedly said behind her back. And so we find out some of those things that she said about Heather. She said Heather buys her dresses at Dress Barn. By the way, I do have to say, I don't know what Dress Barn is, but don't fucking ever name a clothing store after a place where animals are kept. I feel like that's like clothing 101. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't buy like, hey, I'm going to go get my jeans at the petting zoo. Like, what? Like, I want to go get my jeans at Cow Bungle. Like, it doesn't make sense. Do you know, like, I like Dress Barn. Like, even I go, like, is that a real place? Dress Barn? Like, that's, whoever called a store Dress Barn, they should be arrested. That's it. They're done. If I ever come across the person that invented Dress Barn, they are going down. And then another thing that Jen said about Heather, she thinks she wants to be an actress, but the only role she'll be cast as is a manatee or Shrek. Ooh, that Shrek thing, ugh, brutal that Jen said that. That is brutal. Jen, you know, I guess Jen was doing that because she was reacting to the show, Heather said, but Jen conveniently doesn't remember. And Andy goes, you know, a big moment, Jen, was when you were at the hypnotist. And everybody asked who doesn't trust Heather and who doesn't trust Jen. Everybody raised their hand. Who doesn't trust Heather? And Jen raised her hand. And Heather says, yeah, that was a big turning point for me. And this is a point when we, the camera catches Mary falling asleep. And Andy goes, Mary, what was your opinion on Jen and Heather? And then Andy catches it real quick. And Andy's like, Mary, did you fall asleep? It's totally okay if you did. And she goes, well, I think maybe, I don't know. I do remember the question. I think Jen did that to get back at Heather. Boom, had the right answer. Bam. And Heather goes, Jen, I was devastated. This is okay. So this is wild, because this is like Jen starts blowing up and says, Mary knows we're both women of color. To be told that you are a bully, it is different for us. To be told you are a piece of shit for 4.5 hours when you are hurting, she's talking about the hypnotist, that took me back 30 or 40 years. I have PTSD. You don't understand. And they're like, what makes you feel? Telling a woman of color she's aggressive and a bully? You don't know, because you are not in those shoes. She is yelling and being really aggressive here. And Whitney says,
you threatened my life. You said you were going to kill me.
Remember when Jen said she was going to bury Whitney behind her house? And I love when he goes,
you threatened my life. You said you were going to kill me.
And Lisa says, well, I say I'm going to slip my wrists all the time. As like a, you know. And Jen says, there is a double standard when you are a woman of color. You are not in our shoes. And Andy wants to hear what Mary has to say. And Mary goes, you know, you do get that from Whitney and Heather, you know, the white blonde. And Heather's like, yeah, totally. I get it. White girl privilege. I totally get it. And Jen says, you need to be educated. And I'm not here to educate you. And Heather says, I don't want you to educate me. And Whitney says,
I hear you. I understand. I'm trying to learn.
And Meredith says, no one on this
stage is going to deny white privilege by making a claim.
But she goes, but making a claim like that, Jen, is a huge statement. And I got to agree, it is a huge statement that Jen, and this is what, like, I am not a black woman, so I cannot, it makes sense what she's saying, in the sense that when you throw words like bully around, I'm sure it has a different connotation than when you do that to a white woman. And I do, but at the same time, what Jen has shown us all season was being aggressive and at times a bully. So where is that line of responsibility of, I totally get what she's saying about you can't throw those words around. It means something different from us, you know, and the decades of abuse that we have faced. But at the same time, does she see her behavior? She is one of the most aggressive housewives I've ever seen in the history of housewives. So my thing is she really mean this? Is this something she's told herself to absolve herself of other sins? Or does she know she's like trying to get the heat off her, so she's making this up? Does she completely believe it? I'm at a loss, and I almost want to speak to a couple. I can't wait to hear people's opinions on this, because I really want to know what they think, and I might be missing a huge gap as not being a woman and not being African-American. I don't know. I want to understand better, but from my viewpoint, which is as a white male, I saw her being extremely aggressive, talking a lot of shit. I mean, she really went out of her way to be very aggressive, even in the reunion, even at this moment, she's being very aggressive. Jen says, I didn't want to get it to this point. This is painful and you do not know. And Jen walks out and is like, can you get my husband? And Whitney calls her husband and goes, are you still here? The racial accusation just came up. And Coach Shaw's hugging Jen. I don't know. Maybe it's just from her husband. She just seems very unstable, you know? I don't mean that in a cutting way. She just seems unstable. And Coach Shaw tells her, you know, some people don't or can't listen. And Jen's like, this is what we've been fighting for so many years, and it's coming from our own circle. And I wrote here, I just really don't know. Like, this is how Jen views this, is that her own friends are... I don't know. It really confused me. So anyways, they're all sitting back down and he asks Jen, what are you feeling? And Jen goes, we've lived through this before. And Coach Shaw told me, baby, not everyone understands it, but if we want to change, we need to make people understand it. And she goes, growing up in Utah, you guys don't know what I've dealt with all of my life. And Jen goes, I'm part of the problem because I don't speak up. And I'm like, Jen, you seem like you speak up a lot. But I will say, you know, that is also very different. Growing up in Utah, she probably has experienced a crazy amount of microaggressions, racism, things that we couldn't even picture. So I do agree with that part. I don't know. It just seems like this came out of nowhere for me. I don't remember her talking about this earlier in the season. So this was kind of like brand new information that got brought up, when I think the crux of the issue was Jen's aggressiveness and meanness and anger towards a lot of the ladies throughout the season, you know? And Heather says, you know, I want to do what I can for you, of course, and for this issue, of course. And Andy goes, okay, well, it's, you know, coming toward the ends. I love seeing Mary and Jen make up, and I love seeing Robert Sr. and Coach Shaw talk. And they said, you know, Andy asks, what's the one thing you learned watching yourself on the show? And Lisa says, you know, I want to listen more. Mary says, you know, some things I say come across as offensive or wrong, and I want to watch that. And Jen says, I need to work on my communication and making sure my group of friends can come to me and trust me and not feel threatened or afraid. And Whitney says,
my timing and delivery, I need to earn my own voice, speak clear and confidence.
And Meredith goes, last year I treated every woman with kindness and respect. I didn't get the same. I will say Whitney and Heather called me after the issue with my husband to apologize. Tonight is the first time I got an apology from Jen. Apologies don't just make things go away. I will forgive everyone, but trust needs to be earned. And that's fair.
And she looks directly at Jen. It was kind of chilling. It was kind of good. Like, I kind of can see the love for Meredith a little bit. Like, Meredith doesn't do anything legitimately, but then she'll have moments like that where she spoke clear. She kind of like comes in, says her piece. It makes sense and backs out. It kind of is cool in a way. We'll have to see what next season brings for her. Heather says to kind of let her specialness shine, don't hold back. And Andy says, well, I've got some good news for you. Since you like meat, we're bringing out some meatballs. You know how they always do a toast. I was kind of weirded out they didn't toast with Vita tequila, but I'm guessing that maybe some people don't drink, or it's a really, I don't know. The best moment of the whole reunion happens right now. Fake snow starts falling from the sky, and Mary starts trying to eat it, thinking it's real snow. And she's like, I don't think that's real snow. She's just, and you got to see her. She's just like a Pac-Man. She's trying to catch it with her mouth. It is like a child that eats glue. You guys, it's amazing. So you guys, that was episode 3 of the reunion. I'm so sad it is over. It really will leave a huge hole in my heart and my head. And I really don't know how I will continue. So this will be my last podcast ever. I just can't go. No. But I just really, hats off. We don't get a first season that I think is so scrutinized, is the word, because a lot of first seasons came and went. They're like, ah, okay. But like, we watched every moment of this. We commented, we talked, we memed. Every bit of this show was like broken down. So I think it stood up under that breaking down. And that is one of the best comments you can give any show, let alone a Bravo show. So you guys, this is Friday. Have a fucking great weekend. Let's do this. Have a great weekend. Please email me at sobadit'sgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com with any comments. Also, please leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you like the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that does that. That's something you can do for free. And like I said, if you want to support me, I'm trying to do this with my life, podcasting. So, a couple bucks a month over at Patreon, patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Thank you to Maritza Lopez, my graphic designer. Thank you to Kate Legaco. Thank you to Emily Clayton, who do podcasts with me over on the Patreon. I think I'm forgetting everybody. I'm not an accepting award, I swear. I love you, Mom and Dad, and I love the big man upstairs. Okay. See you guys on Monday.
X gon' give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop, pop out, I'm stainless steel. Go hard, getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make a motherfucker wonder if you did. Damn right, can I do it again? Cause I am life, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. You motherfuckers never wanted nothing but your life saved. Bitch, and that's on a light day, I'm getting down.
Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing.
Bitch, please, if the only thing you cats did was came out to play, stay out my way, motherfucker. Gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. We gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya.
So call me maybe.
What you gonna rock? Do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. But we gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya.
So call me maybe.
X gon' give it to ya.
He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. Ain't never gave nothing to me. But every time I turn around, cats got their hands out, wanting something from it. I ain't got it, so you can't get it. Let's leave it at that, cause I ain't with it. Hit it with full strength. I'm a jail nigga, so I face the world like a girl in the bullpen. You against me, me against you. Whatever, whenever, nigga, fuck you gon' do. I'm a wolf in sheep clothing. Only nigga that you know who can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Niggas wanna fight me, fight these kids. I put in work and it's all for the kids. These cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we blowing.
Where you think you're going, baby?
But we gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. But we gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. Gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. Come on. But we gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. For too long, don't give up, you're too strong. Lost in the wild, wild hunters. Shout out to niggas that done it. And it ain't even about the dough, it's about getting down what you stand for.
Maybe.
We gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go.
Come on,
X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya.
We
gonna rock, do we gonna fall? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go.
Come on,
X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya.